You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim in Maseches Menachos, and all the dealing regarding mezuzah, the sukkah sachag b'chag. They put up a sukkah only for the duration of sukkahs, but the chay be mezuzah. The din is that one is only chay be mezuzah if you have a diras keva. If you have a room or a house that you rarely use, only a diras aroi, and not chay be mezuzah. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether the sukkah has to be al pidin, has to be diras aroi, or b'davken has to be diras keva. 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher, because according to the Tanur Abuda, it is diras keva, and according to the way we pass on halacha, because it is diras aroi, the same sukkah. We hold that it's good because it's a diras aroi. Abuda holds that it's good because it's a diras keva. Then there's 1% of the sukkahs in the world that are really keva, the holiday, so then we pass on that that's possible. Has to be davka diras aroi. Then there's 1% of sukkahs in the world that are really diras aroi, the holiday is, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not yotzi with that. But 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are good, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be diras keva, it is called diras keva. And according to the way we pass on Allah, has to be diras aroi, it is diras aroi. So we pass on sukkahs a chag b'chag, it's not chay b'mezuzah. Some people have a house where they have a room, one of the rooms in the house, it's only a room. And then on sukkahs, they take off the roof and they put schach there. So that you use that all year long. That's not sukkahs chag b'chag. That's a room, part of the house that you use all year long. So that is chay b'mezuzah. In Shulchan Aruch, they say that people make a mistake. They think that on sukkahs, you don't need, if you use it all year long, it's chay b'mezuzah all year long, because chay b'mezuzah on sukkahs as well. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Sukkah has a machlekes habiyud in the Rabbanon. If you have the schach l'mayla me'esra mamah, that's very rare. Mayla me'esra mamah is very, even if you have a very high sukkah, the odds are 100 to 1, 500 to 1, that it's not going to be 20 amas high. 20 amas high, then we pass in its puzzle. So the Gemara gives three different reasons. So one of the reasons is that to construct the sukkah, the schach is going to be more than 20 amas tall. That's going to be diras keva. And diras keva is possible. We paskan has to be diras aroi. Diras keva is no good. And that's the reason why the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yehuda to disagree. Rabbi Yehuda says l'malei asmama is good, because Rabbi Yehuda l'shitas ahonza, the sukkah has to be diras keva. There's nothing wrong. So there's a Mishnah in the second parak in sukkah. What if you have a sukkah that's the schach of the sukkah is being supported? Instead of attaching the sukkah to the ground, to the buildings, the sukkah is being supported by a bed. So is there anything wrong with that? So there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah. So whatever the reason should be, the Tana who holds that it's no good, it should be yochid v'rab malochik ram, whatever his reason is. And especially because one of the explanations in the Gemara is that if the sukkah is being supported by the the sukkah is not constructed, not leaning on the wall, not leaning on the ground, being supported by a kli, by a bed. So that's diras aroi. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah has to be diras keva. Diras aroi is no good. It's Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said that it's no good. So the Gemara had one of the pshat, and that's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitas. So we shouldn't paskan like that. We paskan halacha that a sukkah is good if it's diras aroi. It has to be diras aroi. Has to be diras aroi. So if somebody says kos bekari amit, it should be good. So the Gemara has another suggestion, a different reason. Nothing to do Rabbi Yehuda l'shitosai is because of mamid. What's mamid? The din is that schach has to have three conditions in order that it should be acceptable. Has to be something gidule karka, has to have grown from the ground. If you have, let's say, plastic or something, you're going to make plastic schach. That's not gidule karka. It won't be kosher. Let's say you're going to have metal, you're going to have strips of wood. Instead of having strips of wood, eights that grows in the ground, you're going to have strips of metal. So so metal is not good in the karka. Metal is karka. Metal is ored from the ground, but it's not gidul, it doesn't grow from the ground. The din is that the schach has to be gidul karka, has to be tolush, has to be dov shein mekabel tumah. So what happens if the schach itself is not dov mekabel tumah? But the thing that's supporting the schach, the thing that holds up the whole sukkah, is the kari hamita. I have a bed. and the bed is supporting the schach. So, other pshat in the Gemara. The first pshat in the Gemara was that it's no good because the Diras Arai, and it goes like the Tana Reb Yehuda. It is Reb Yehuda. The Diras Arai is no good. It has to be Dafka Diras Keva. The other pshat in the Gemara is a totally unrelated to Diras Keva Diras Arai. It's that that's the way the Ran interprets in the Gemara. If the Dava Hamamid is Dava Hamakabel Tumah, so we made Xera the Rabbanon, and then by mistake use the Kari Hamito, the boards of the bed, as the Schach. So we made Xera the Rabbanon not to be Mamid, the Schach Puzzle. Even if that's the Pshat in the Mishnah, has nothing to do with Diras Aroi, Diras Keva, we really shouldn't pass on like that Tani, because we usually have a cloud, Yochid Verab, Malochik Erab. So over here, there is one of the obscure Rishonim, Paskins like that, that we Paskin, that Mamid is no good. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a stira. In one place in Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, if you're Mamid, Bischach Posel, there's nothing wrong. The other place, he says that it's no good. So the Mepharshim on the Shulchan Aruch say that in the Ikra, then we Paskin, that if you're Mamid, Bischach Posel, it doesn't pose a problem. The whole thing is a chumit to be choshish for that minority, shabba minority opinion, that you don't say over here, Yochid Barab, Alocha Kerab, for some unknown reason. And we make exeri, you shouldn't allow Mamid Ischach Posel. Whatever is not kosher for Ischach, make exeri the Rabban, you shouldn't be allowed to be Mamid Ita. So let's say sometimes you have to have the Fanus also for the Sukkah, but sometimes you have the Ischach being supported, let's say, by clotheslines. So the clotheslines are the Ischach Posel Menator, the Ischach Posel Mid Rabbanon. So there's a machlekes in Achrainim. What's the din if you hold from this chumra of mamid? You don't allow. A lot of people have this. You have a metal frame, and then you have boards, but the metal frame is holding up the schach on top, not the boards. The metal frame is holding up the schach on top. So the metal is possible the schach min haTorah. So that's the case of mamid, the machlekes harishonim, machlekes hatanoim, and machlekes harishonim. And they recommend the Shulchan Aruch to lachatchila to be choshish for that opinion. What happens if you don't have, not that you have schach posel men haTorah, metal frames, let's say you have a clothesline, sometimes some people have clothesline that's made from plastic. So plastic is not artificial material. It's synthetic, not artificial. It's synthetic material. That's not gedula karka. So that's posel leschachich bo men haTorah. So if that's supporting the schach, we would be machmel hatchila. Mikra din is really kosher. It's a chumrah to avoid the mamid. What happens if, let's say, the clothesline is hemp, very thick, like when you send a package, parcel post, so you tie it up. So a lot of times that stuff that you tie with is hemp. It grows from the bush. It's gedulei karka, but it's converted. It was made into string. So the Rambam interprets a gemara, the end of the first perek in Sukkah, that if you have some material that's gedulei karka, but you made it into string. When you look at it, it's nishtana. By looking at it, unless you know the history, you wouldn't know that it's gedulei karka. It doesn't look like it did originally when it grew from the ground. It looks totally different. So the Rambam interprets in the Gemara that that's posel mid rabbon. If you have gedulei karka shenishtana, it's posel mid rabbon. So that's a machlokes in Achrayim. What if the Dov HaMamid is schach posel mid rabbon? It's not schach posel mid haTorah. Or let's say, for example, I had a table. A table is a Dov HaMekabel Tumah. It's a kli. And then the table broke, and now it's shivrei kelim. So that's a din mid rabbon. The kelim HaMekabel Tumah is wooden. The kelim HaMekabel Tumah. So that's no good mid haTorah. But shivrei kelim is only posel mid rabbonon. Because of the Xeri, he may mistakenly think that he can even use a Kli Shalim that's not broken. And that's no good ben haTorah because it's Dov HaMekabel Tumah. So what if the thing supporting the Schach, I have the Tfanis around, but the thing supporting the Schach is not the Tfanis, the thing supporting the Schach is the clothesline, which is hemp, which is the Gidul de Karka Shenishtana. So that's a Machlekes Sachrenim, and it's a steer in the Mishnah Brura, in one place, and they're both in Hilchas Sukkah. That's a problem. in the three volumes of the Kol Kisvei HaChofetz Chaim, so they have a whole, one of the sections is a biography of the Chofetz Chaim written by one of his sons. So he writes that the Mishnah Berurah project was worked on by different members of the family, and his father, the Chofetz Chaim, was the general editor. He's the overseer of the whole project, but he did write the Mishnah Berurah. Everything was written by other people. So he writes, that's why they're asterisks every so often. So he writes, there's a Shaila. The Gemara says, if a Nochri does Malocha for a Jew on Shabbos, you have to wait Bechdei She'asu to prevent people from asking Amir and Nochri. A person is going to make it look like an accident that the Nochri decided to do the Malocha on his own. And really, he asked him to do the Malocha. So to prevent wise guys from saying that the Nochri did it on his own, so he made a Dimit Rabbanan, even if it's true that the Nochri did it on his own, you have to wait Bechdei She'asu after Shabbos is over, so you're not going to gain anything by asking the Nochri to do the Malocha on Shabbos. So this will serve, this din, the Rabbanan, will serve as a deterrent that people shouldn't violate Amir and Nochri. The Tanoim knew that Amir and Nochri is going to not be such a lucky din. The Jews always had Shabbos going. And most of the time, Shabbos going was B'isa. Most of the time, it's not allowed. That's one of the dinim that didn't have too much mazel. So the Tanoim knew from day number one, that din is not going to be too mazel, that the Jews are going to violate it all the time. So they wanted to strengthen the din of Amir and Nochri, so they made different things, and it still didn't help. With all the precautions, it still didn't help. So one of the dinim, that's our testimony. So one of the dinim was that to be mechazek Amir and Nochri said, even if it's true that the Nochri did the Malach on his own, you're not allowed to be Nene on Shabbos until Mitzvah Shabbos Bechdei She'as. So that's how Tesis learns. But Tesis learns if a Jew does Malacha on Shabbos, then you don't have to wait B'Yisr, you have to wait Bechdei She'as. And Rashi doesn't agree. Rashi holds that you're not allowed to get Hanoah from Malacha on Shabbos, not to be Mechazek Amir and Nochri. Even if a Jew does Malacha on Shabbos, you also have to wait Bechdei She'as on Mitzvah Shabbos. So the son of the Chafetz Chaim points out that on this issue, there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah, because it says, I wrote that section, my uncle wrote the other section, he paskin like Rashi, and I paskin like Tosfos, and his father didn't catch it. The Mishnah Chofetz Chaim read everything over, and he didn't realize that there's a steer. Rather, steer is also, there's a steer regarding Tekir Shofar Matzoi Yom Kippur. In the Mishnah Berurah, in the Hilchos Yom Kippur, it says, that what happens if we finish Ne'ilah Doomsday, way after Tzeisak Kacham. Well, what if the Shul finished Ne'ilah and it's after the Shkia, but it's Ben Ashmashes? So you're not allowed to blow Shofar on Yom Kippur. But it's only blow Shofar is only to the Rabbana. So would you say that over here, Kol Dov Shem Shvus LeGozol Ben Ashmashes? That's the Machlekes HaTanoim. That's how we pass. Whatever is only an Issa Derabbanan Kal, the Issa Derabbanan divided into two categories. There's an Issa Derabbanan Kal and Issa Derabbanan Chomer. That's what Tosfos points out. That's accepted, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And the Gemara is like that. So can we consider Tkir Shaifer an Issa Derabbanan Kal, so the Makam Mitzvah, we would be made called Ben Ashmashes. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippur says that even if they finished Ne'ilah and Shul during Ben Ashmash, not yet Tzeisak Kachavim, so in America, everybody knows, once you blow Shofar, everybody can eat. Everybody can go home and do all the malachas. They're not a smart idea that you should blow Shofar and it's still Ben Ashmashes. But the Mishnah Berurah somehow, they didn't have that attitude in Poland, where he lived. So he says that you're permitted to blow Shofar Ben Ashmashes because only the Rabban and Kal, and it's a Makam Mitzvah, some kind of a minik for some reason or another. Three different explanations given by the Rishayim, why he blows Shofar on Matzoi Yom Kippur. So in Hilchos Yom Kippur, whoever wrote the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's muta to blow Shofar on Ben Ashmashes because Mishum Mitzvah is muta. And then in Hilchos Shabbos, when they talk about that din, because it's a separate siman in Shulchan Aruch, Kol Dov Shem Mishum Shvus, or Kol Dov Ben Ashmashes, so there there's a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Eben HaOizer. That's a commentary on the side. Does this din only apply to the first Ben Ashmashes of Friday evening, or does it even apply to the Ben Ashmashes of Mitzvah Shabbos? Why should there be a difference? Because Friday, the whole day is Becheskes Heter. So Ben Ashmashes is really Becheskes Heter. Hashenikein, Ben Ashmashes on Mitzoy Shabbos, the whole day Shabbos was Becheskes Iser. So Ben Ashmashes is a suffix, so it should really be Becheskes Iser. It's a pella. What do you mean Becheskes Iser? Every minute there's a separate, what a, this is a Matei Ephraim, and this is a Mishnah Berurah. What does this got to do with this? What does 1 minute have to do with the next minute? The whole day of Shabbos is Becheskes Iser. What does it have to do with the next period of time, Ben Ashmashes? Ben Ashmashes wasn't Becheskes anything. So somehow, there's some kind of a question here. What is the concept of time? If the second minute, if the minute following the first minute is a Hemshech of the first minute, or it's a different minute, I don't understand. It's a machloikis in the Mor and the Vuchim. The Rambam has a machloikis with the Muslim, with the Arab philosophers about the nature of time, whether it's such a thing, whether the next minute is the Hemshech of the previous minute, is there a chazoka or not? I don't understand what that means. How can it be a chazoka? But that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins there. That Kol Dovishim Mishim Shvus, who goes on the Ben Hashmash, only applies on Leil Shabbos. But on Mitzoy Shabbos, on Mitzoy Yantar, the Heta doesn't apply. So it's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah between what whoever wrote the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Shabbos wrote the Chumrah, and whoever wrote the Mishnah Berurah over here wrote the Kulam. It's interesting. Under the communist government for many years, the communists were ruling in Russia, so they confiscated many of the Lubavitch Svarim from the Lubavitch libraries, a few libraries in Europe. And after communism collapsed in the late 1900s, so the Lubavitch kept on sending letters to the Russian government, could they please give them back all the Svarim that were borrowed from their libraries in Europe. So after many requests, they gave them back a lot of Svarim, and by mistake, they gave them back something that never belonged to them. They have at 770 Eastern Parkway, they have the original handwritten manuscript that was of the Mishnah Berurah that never belonged to Lubavitch, that was given to the typesetter that he should print the Mishnah Berurah. So the people who saw it say that it's written in different handwritings. And you know which one is the Chafetz Chaim? It's written in different handwritings in different color ink. The different people who wrote the different parts of the Mishnah Berurah wrote it in different handwritings and different inks. And they know that every so often, your halacha, and the Chafetz Chaim would add on, at the end of a long bir halacha, he would add on another quotation from another Sefer Shadis and Shivas to be Machriya. But most of the Mishnah Berurah was not written by the Chafetz Chaim. Very little was written by him. So there are stiras all over. Here it's a problem. This is a stira two pages apart from each other, both in Hilchas Sukkah, whether you say you don't have a right to make a gzeira. But here the two gzeiras, if you have no right to make a gzeira, if your whole concern is you're afraid people are going to violate the din de rabbanan. Here you have two different gzeiras, and then let's say that shibrei kelim cannot be used for schach. According to the Rambam, gidul kaka shenishtana. Let's say you have slats of wood and you painted them a different color. So that's also in Baba Kama, it says that if you paint a table, God steals the table and he paints it, so that's considered Shina Shina Kaina. That's what some poskim say. If you have painted the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheta, quotes that. If you painted the wooden schach, according to the Rambam, it could well be that this is Nishtana and it's Pasalm the Rabbanon. So this was Agzer the Rabbanon, Otto Adin Deraisa. They said, if you paint the schach, it doesn't look like a gedule karka anymore. It's nishtana. So that's the chumra mid the rabbanon. That was nigzar because he may use non-gedule karka. They made it in the rabbanon. Shibrei kelim can't be used because people by mistake may think that kelim can also be used. That was one din the rabbanon. And then the whole din of mamid is only a din mid the rabbanon. But it's not that they made a din the rabbanon to prevent people from violating the other din the rabbanon. The two din of the rabbanon were made independently of each other. It happens to be the two combined together. You want to use a psach pasul mid rabbanon as the mamid on the schach koshim. So that's a machlekes sachreinim, and that's a stira. That's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah, both within Hilchas Sukkah. That is a problem. Usually we have a din. So on this din of mamid. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, who says that the way we solve the problem is the following. Let's say you have a metal frame, and you have wooden tefanis, but the metal frame is going to hold the schach. So that's your mamid, bischach posel, because the metal is not gedule kark, metal is karka mamish. So that's no good benatur, so that's mamid. So mikra then is really kosher. The whole thing we're talking about is a chumra. So the Magen Avraham has a kula, and he said, this is a common practice. If you have the four metal bars, so you take a beam of wood to cover this metal bar, take four beams of wood to cover the four metal bars, and then you put the schach on top of that. So that's mamid de mamid. And there's a Ramban and Mohammed in Sukkah, the mamid de mamid is kosher. The only goes there if you're directly doing mamid. If you're doing mamid de mamid, that doesn't pass. The Gzera de Rabbanon doesn't go so far. So the Chazon Ish is famous. Chazon Ish says that's a joke. That's not mamid de mamid. Let's say you have a lot of twigs. You're using evergreen. You're using a lot of twigs, branches, the schach. Let's say you have a foot of schach. So say it's mamid de mamid. The bottom 6 inches are supporting the upper 6 inches. So the there's enough tzilosim ruba mechamosa in the upper 6 inches. You have 12 inches thick of schach. So it'll be kosher. We'll call the bottom 6 inches mamid. And that's holding up the top, the metal frame is holding up the bottom 6 inches, which in turn are holding up the top 6 inches. So that's not mamid and mamid, that's all schach. All the schach, you can't divide the schach in half. So what kind of a stunt are you saying? Okay, you put four wooden beams on top of the four metal bars that are holding up all the schach. Then you put the schach on top of the wooden beams. The wooden beams, it's all the schach. It's all schach. It's not mamid and mamid. It's all of it is schach. So all of the schach, the beams, with the twigs, with everything, with the branches, everything is resting on the metal beams. That's what the Chazon Ish is. That's not called mamid de mamid. The Ramban's mamid de mamid is talking about a different thing. If you have a floor, let's say the floor is dolam kabel tuma, the floor is a table. I made a sukkah on top of a wagon. I made a sukkah on top of a table, let's say. So the floor of the sukkah is a big table. So that's dolam kabel tuma. So the floor is holding up the tfanis, and the tfanis holding up the schach. So that's mamid de mamid. Okay. But if you have wooden beams on top of the metal bars, then you put the branches or the twigs on top of that, the wooden beams with all the branches, the whole thing is all solid schach. You can't divide it in half, say that's mamid and mamid. Chazon Ish is right, Alpi Pashtas. But the whole thing, the whole meduber is a chumra. The whole thing, mikra, then we shouldn't paskin like that tana. We don't understand why there was a reason who did paskin like that tana. Pashta says that the Tana is Rabbi Yehuda L'shitosa, that he holds that a sukkah has to be diras keva, and if it's being supported by kari amito, it's being supported by the bed, it's a diras arois. So that's why it's no good. And even if you learn that that's not the pshat, the Gemara gave another pshat. So whatever he said, it's a shitas ayochid. Yochid v'ram alochim shouldn't pass on like that. So the whole thing is a chumit to begin with. So the main goyim always was lahok, but now in our generation, so a lot of people have a lot of money. So they want to be machmer for the Chazon Ish. People have that. They call the Chazon Ish sukkah. The Chazon Ish insists that you have to have a wooden frame. If you have a metal frame that's holding up the schach, there's no way to make that into mamid de mamid. So people spend a fortune to have, in addition to the metal frame that holds up the sukkah, they're going to have a wooden frame to hold up the schach. That the schach shouldn't be supported by the metal frame. But the Chazon Ish himself, every time when he writes about it, he writes, we're talking about a chumra. But then it's really kosher, even if it is mamid. Talking about a chumra, how far you have to go with the chumra. I remember the building next to mine, 44 Bennett. So a lot of Jews lived there. So there was one sukkah about 15 years ago that all of the people went to their children. Hardly anybody was eating in the sukkah. So they have a gigantic sukkah there. But they didn't need the whole sukkah. Hardly anybody was remaining behind. So they only put schach in the middle of the sukkah. And the outskirts of the sukkah, you have to have walls for a sukkah. So the walls were over there, and the schach was only in the middle. That's no good ben atara. The schach has to be within 3 tefachim to the walls. So if you don't need the whole, let's say this is the sukkah. So you have, the din is you need 3 walls. So the din is shtaim kol chosam shlish afil tefach. You have 2 walls L shape, and then the third wall you don't have to have it all the way. Let's say you have 3 walls, but if you're going to have only put schach in the middle, over here, that's more than enough for all the people are going to eat. But the schach begins over here. It's more than three tefachim of empty space to the walls. So the tefanas are not mitzurah to the sukkah. That's no good than a Torah. The schach has to be close to the walls, within three tefachim, touching the walls. It doesn't have to be within three tefachim like this. Let's say the tefanas are, this is a doifen, and the schach is up here, and it's more than three tefachim in between. So that the Gemara says, I say, good asik mechitza. I visualize if the mechitza goes up, if the mechitza has 10 tefachim, so I visualize if it's oile, as if it bumps into the schach on top. But if it's over here, not that it's more than three tefachim over here, it's more than three tefachim away over here. So if it would be within three tefachim, you can say lovitza. It's considered as if it's contiguous, as if it's touching the tefanas. But if it's more than three tefachim away, then it's no good. The Mishnah has a halacha l'moshe misina. It's called doifen akuma. If you would have schach pasul over here, if you would have metal over here, schach pasul, so then up until dalramis would be good. The schach over here would be mitzurf to that wall. A lot of times you don't need that wall. Let's say there's a landing above. Sometimes you build the sukkah on a fire escape, or you build the sukkah downstairs, and part of the sukkah is below a roof that's protruding. So the roof that's protruding is made from cement. So that's no good. That's karka. That's not gedula karka. That's karka. Sand. So the schach, the different opinions, and the Rishonim, what if you have a sukkah shetachas agag? What if the schach came first, then you put the gag later on? So the different opinions. So we pass on Shulchan Aruch and Machmer, whether the roof came first or the schach came first does make a difference. Whenever you have schach kosher and you have schach pasul, you have a fire escape that's all made from metal, or you have protruding, you have cement sticking out. So whether the cement came first or the schach came first, if the two are both giving shade to the same area, so this becomes schach pasul, not considered kosher. So this schach pasul, if it's less than dalar amis into the sukkah, so then the schach over here will be mitzdarif to the wall over here. Well, that's called doifen akuma. I visualize as if the wall bends in, even though this is schach, I visualize as if it's an extension of the wall. So that's a din of doifen akuma. Only works up until dalar amis. So you have to come on to doifen akuma. A lot of times people have a roof that they... when it's raining, so they lower the roof to cover the schach, so the sukkah won't get sopping wet. So then when they pull up the roof, so then you can sit under the schach. But a lot of times when you pull up the roof, it's leaning in a little bit. Let's say my sukkah is over here. Instead of the roof being like this, straight up in the air, the roof is leaning over a little bit. So leaning over, so you can't sit the first couple of inches and sometimes the first couple of feet in the sukkah. So you have to check, you have to make sure in the daytime when you can see how far in is the roof leaning in. If the roof is schach pasul, then the schach that's kosher underneath it is no good. So it's only good up until Dalet Amas. What they usually do if you have such a sukkah that the first feet are pasul l'schach, so they have the women sit over there. Women are not mechayev in sukkah. But a lot of the women say the bracha leishe basukah. So if they can't say a bracha leishe basukah, if they're sitting in that part of the sukkah that's pasul, it's not fair. If you have to tell the women that they're sitting in the part of the sukkah that's pasul, they may not be happy about that. Also, there's a machlekes hatana. We paskin that the defanas have to reach within three tefachim to the ground. If it's mechitza tluy, it's suspended in the air, we pass, and it's no good for Shabbos, and it's no good for Sukkah. There were opinions in the Tanoim that distinguish in either direction. Some say Shabbos is Mochama, some say Sukkah is Mochama. We pass, and they're both not acceptable. If the Tefanas don't reach within the Tefachim to the ground, that's not acceptable. But if the Tefanas are 10 Tefachim tall, and then the Schach is directly above, even though it doesn't reach, even though it's way more than 3 Tefachim, you can't say Lovod, but that's it then, and it's a good asik mechitza. It visualizes if the mechitza zoyla, and it bumps into the schach on top. But if the schach is on the side, schach is over here, you don't say you visualize as if it goes up in the air, And this is lover to where this imaginary line is. There is no such din. There's no din of lover to the imaginary line. Let's say the schach only goes up so high, and the fanus only goes so high, and the schach is over here. And the distance between the top of the fanus and the schach is more than 3 tvachim. But if you would visualize as if this goes up, then the distance would be less. It would be within 3 tvachim. But that's not acceptable. There's no din of lover. You don't draw a line, love it, to an imaginary line that it would have gone up. You only say love it to what's actually there. That is a lot of times a problem. If you go to Eretz Yisrael and eat one of the Ritzi, when you stay in one of the Ritzi hotels, you better check to make sure that the sukkah is kosher. A lot of the sukkahs in the hotel is our puzzle. I remember I once asked Reb Simcha Cook, there was a certain hotel, and I asked him, the Mashgichim, the Rabbanut, did they check on the sukkah was good? He said, oh, it's a question if they check on the kashas. The sukkah, a lot of times they don't check. They rely on whoever. And whoever doesn't know the dinim, not so kosher. There's a Mishnah de lechatchila, you shouldn't put too much schach. You should have little holes in the schach so you should be able to see the stars. But the Eber, that doesn't puzzle. Just because you can't see the star, doesn't puzzle. However, Tosis has a Chiddush. It doesn't really say the Ferish in the Gemara. The Balei HaTosis, when we Chiddush this, that if you have, let's say you have a solid board, a wooden board, and it can't rain through. So Tosis thinks that that's no good menater. That's Beisel Shal Kolashan Kula. If it doesn't rain in, that's not acceptable menater. So a lot of times you have so much schach, you have such heavy schach, it's just not going to rain through. So Tosfos thinks that that's no good benadur. The Mishnah says if it rains on Sukkot, is a simen ra, means like an eved served his master a drink, and the master took the drink and he threw it in the face of the eved. So we want to sit in Sukkot, the Rebbe Shlom throws the water into the Sukkot, and he makes it, So the Mefarshim and the Mishnah say that's only in Eretz Yisrael, where this season of the year it's irregular, it's not normal that it should rain. So they don't say Masha Baruch, they don't say the same Talamotter. We don't say it either, but it doesn't make sense why we don't say it. We don't have such a thing as a dry season when it doesn't rain. It's the Rush lived in Spain and he raised the issue. And he was outvoted. He said, it doesn't make sense why we don't say the same Talamatah all winter long. By us, it rains. We don't have any dry season. And Eretz Yisrael is a dry season. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim's practice was, and that was his practice also, Rav Soloveitchik's practice, that all winter, all summer season, when officially, from Pesach until Shmini Atzeres, We don't say the same Talamotar. We don't say Masha Baruch. We don't say the same Talamotar. So his practice, where observation's practice would be, he would say Moirat Atol, just in case he's supposed to say Masha Baruch. And he would say the same Talamotar Lebrach and Shema Koleinu. Because the din is, if you forgot to say it in Baruch Aleinu, then you can, if you remember in Shema Koleinu, really it's a strong taina. We should go according to our country. Our country, it rains all the time. We don't have any dry season. So that's a pella. A prime's practice, what he would do like that. He would say in St. Talamotar all winter long, all summer long in Baruch Aleinu.
Prime would say in
Baruch Aleinu
or in
Shema Koleinu? In Shema Koleinu. Sorry, in Shema Koleinu. Baruch Aleinu in Shulchan Aruch said you don't say St. Talamotar. But he thought that it was difficult like the Rosh. He would say in Shema Koleinu. He would say in Shema Koleinu. There is a Mishnah, Daf Tesem and Aleph, Mishnah quotes the Machlekes B'Shama B'Sul, is there a need to place the Schach L'Shma? So B'Shama, you're of the opinion that if you didn't put the Schach L'Shma, the Sukkah is not kosher. We don't paskin like B'Shama. We paskin Sukkah's Gambach Rakfash is good, even if a Goy, Sukkah's Goyim. If a Goy put the Schach, a Goy by definition can't do the Shma. Whoever doesn't have that mitzvah can't create the Shma. Woman also, the Rabbi Natam Shita is, a woman cannot tie tzitzis because women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the Rabbein Tam said, because it's a mitzvah, says Shazman Grama, Laila, Sus Laila is butter. So the Gemara says, call the mitzvah, says Shazman Grama. So the Rabbi Natam holds that to tie, that's a machloek, Rabbi Natam holds that to tie the chutim onto the beged, you have to have kshira lishma, and women who are not mechuyev in the mitzvah cannot create lishma. The mazel is that the women are mechuyev in matzah, even though it's also as mangrama, because throughout all the centuries, the women used to bake the matzahs. So if the women would have been potter from the mitzvah matzah, they wouldn't be able to bake the matzahs, according to Rabbi Natam. So the Gemara says, what about a sukkah that was constructed by a woman? Is that good or not? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's good because we pass on like Basila that you don't need Hanachas Schach Lishma. Every year I tell over the story. We used to live in the Bronx when I was single. My parents lived in the Bronx near a conservative temple on the Grand Concourse. So the old rabbi in the temple was a European. He knew how to talk Yiddish. And he was a nice guy. He wasn't a conservative rabbi Bishita. He got a job for Panos. He's a nice fella. He used to give a lot of tzedakah. He used to give a lot of money from the shul for tzedakah. And then they retired the rabbi, and they hired a new whippersnapper, Musmach from the Jewish Theological Seminary, who was really a conservative rabbi, the Hashkofa. So the chazan wasn't happy with the new rabbi. So Shaila came up. So he came to my father to ask the Shaila. What happened was, in the conservative temple, the chazan says Kiddush in the shul on the night of Sukkot. In the sukkah, they built the sukkah on the bima, in the shul, under the roof, and he says kiddush in the sukkah, leishem basukkah, says the bracha leishem basukkah, and the kiddush. So what happened was, the whole sukkah collapsed, and the goy put it together again on yontif. So the chazan thought that if the goy puts up a schach, it's no good. So he wanted to get my father to say that the sukkah is possible. And he's going to go tell all the people that the new rabbi doesn't know how to learn. He doesn't know. So he's calling, telling my father the shayla. So my father says, where is the sukkah? So it's in the shul. So he says, it's no good anyway. So he says, well, let's ignore that. He's the chazan. Let's forget about that. Well, what about the fact that it was put up by the goy? My father said, no, that's okay. That's not a problem. We pass him like Beis Hillel. But even though the schach was put up, shelo d'shma, that sukkah is gamvach rakvash. One brisa has gambach, one brisa says rakvash, it's Rosh Tevis of eight different sukkahs that are kosher, even though the schach was not put up lishma. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion. It's questionable why he quoted this. He quotes an opinion from the Rashba on Beitza. I think on Daf Lamed, the Rashba has a chiddush. But even Beis Hillel also agree that sometimes you have to place the schach lishma. When is that? There's a din of a huktzin and mitzvosai. If you constructed a sukkah and you didn't sit in the sukkah yet, then we say, hazman Allah milsehi, it's not yet huktzin and mitzvosai. But if you constructed the sukkah and you sat in the sukkah, then it becomes huktzin and mitzvosai, then you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. So the Rashba interprets in the Gemara that that's, according to Beis Hillel, it's only hooked to the mitzvah if you sat in the sukkah, otherwise it'll just be hazman Allah milsi. And also, if the schach was put up lishma, there are two kinds of sukkah. They're both kosher. There's a sukkah with hooked with kedusha, chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. If the schach was put up lishma, then there's a sukkah that doesn't have a hooked to the mitzvah. There's not no kedusha. There's a secular sukkah and there's a holy sukkah. So the sukkah that was put up lishma, Beis Hillel also agree. You have to put it up lishma if you want it to become hooked to the mitzvah. Interesting sheet. So the Mishnah Berurah quoted that it'll only be hooked to the mitzvah if you put up lishma. It's very questionable whether you should really accept that Rashba. Highly questionable. But the Mishnah Berurah quoted it. The Gemara talks about hanging fancy decorations in the sukkah, noye sukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that not only is it a general din by all mitzvahs that zekele v'anveu, the word anveu has different levels of interpretation. So one of the interpretations is noye mitzvah, noye zekele v'anveu. It's not the fun of the mitzvahs. Whenever you have a mitzvah, you should have it fancy. It should be a nice pair of tefillin, it should be a nice talis, it should be a nice tefillin zekel, it should be a nice handwriting, a sefer Torah, a nice mentala, and so on. So by sukkah also, noye sukkah is a hidda mitzvah, but Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it's more than that. That in the sukkah, there's a din of teshu kein taduru. So just like at home, you have fancy photographs or paintings hanging on the walls, or you have other tchotchkes hanging some in the ceiling. You have chandelier, or whatever you hang on the chandelier. So too in the sukkah, you have to have hang up nice things to enhance the mitzvah of teishu kein tadur. So it's a double kiyum. It's the general mitzvah of hida mitzvah, and it's an enhancement of the teishu kein tadur. I remember years ago, my parents used to live in Borough Park. After I got married, they moved to Borough Park. So once on Shmini Atzeres in Chazdar, we visited by my parents. So we were walking around just in the neighborhood to see all the different sukkahs. So there was one gigantic Hasidic sukkah there, one Hasidic Rebbe. The whole sukkah was a puzzle. There was Noye sukkah hanging all over. And the Gemara says this Noye sukkah has to be within 4 tfachim to the ceiling. If it hangs down lower, you can't sit under that. So usually you have a little Noye sukkah, you can sit all the other place. Here the whole sukkah was solid. I haven't been there in over 50 years. That was over 50 years ago I saw that sukkah. Maybe by now they discovered the din. But you're not allowed to have a Noye sukkah hanging down so low. Then the Gemara has a din of Tasav Eloi Menosi. The Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah Stas Alach Shevas Yamim, Kos B'chom Migor Nechom Yikvecha. So the simple translation of the words of the Pasuk, Pshut Ushal Mikva, are Chag HaSukkah Stas Alach, you should celebrate the holiday, the festival of Sukkah, Shevas Yamim, for a duration of 7 days, Kos B'chom Migor Nechom Yikvecha, and that season of the year, the ingathering season, when's going to start to rain? After Sukkot, and there it starts to rain. Zayin Cheshvan starts saying Saint Alamatar. So you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for the duration of 7 days at that season of the year, the in-gathering season. So the Gemara says the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Achaz Dibar Lakim, Shtaim Zu Shamati, a Pasuk in Tehillim. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the text of one pasuk, and it has more than one level of interpretation. And the drushes, the additional levels of interpretation of Torah Shema Peh, are also binding. So the Gemara says, leave out the word chag for a moment. You read the pasuk, we'll get back to it. Not going to leave it out. Sukkah Tasulcha goes on asiyah sasukah. You have to construct a sukkah. Should be tasuk lemen ho asuk. We'll give some examples. Shivas Yamin, the sukkah has to be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. Let's say you put up a sukkah and it's wobbly and it's going to collapse within 7 days, but it'll last for one night. So can you be yotzei mitzvah the first night of sukkahs with a sukkah that you know is not going to last? It's not sturdy enough to last 7 days. Mar says, no good. Has to be sukkah ruvi l'chol shiva. And then the words, ba'as b'cham b'karnacham yikvech, according to this pshat, that you're talking about constructing this sukkah, so bir is the base hakeli, like you say, ani kosev be'et, ani kotev, I'm writing with a pen. You don't say, I'm writing in a pen. Like, ki bayom hazeh chaper aleichem. How do you translate? Ki bayom hazeh chaper chem tareschem. He said it many times today in the davening. So the parasha pshat, on this day, ki bayom hazeh chaper aleichem. The Gemara understands, no, ki bayom al yedei hayom hazeh. That's what the Rishonim call the base hakeli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use the Kedusha Sam, Eitzuv L'shal Yom is Mechaper. Mizmacha Ebesi Megdush HaYikaim, the Karbonus one Mechaper. Mizman Hazeh, the day itself is Mechaper. What does that mean? So you have to spend some time before Yom Kippur to figure out what that is. So here also, V'as V'chom B'gonacham Yikvecha doesn't mean that that's this season of the year, according to this pshat. It means you should construct the sukkah Stas Alecha. The sukkah is Nikra Hashem HaSchach. So the schach should be be'os b'chom migonachom yikvecho. When the psal is going to be, it has to be something that grew from the ground, that was detached, and it's not mikabel tuma. So when you rip off all the dates and all the figs and all of the grapes, you just left with the gedule karka, tolu shendo b'shein mikabel tuma. If it still has, it's not psal is going to be. If it's the grapes or the figs or the dates, then it's dovah mikabel tuma. That's no good. The din is oichem arol mekabel tuma if they're huchshel mekabel tuma. If they were never in store for one of the zayim mashkim, they're not mekabel tuma. Here by schach, That's a machlekes achrenim. If you have oichel that was not ochshe v'kabel tume, is it only possible the sachir chabed the rabbanon, or is it possible manatur? So that's an interesting question, whether that should be possible manatur or possible manatur rabbanon. But it's possible, that's for sure. Oichel that was not ochshe is still possible sachir chabed. Many hold that it's possible manatur. So the din of tasa v'lamanasa is based on that pasuk. Sukkas tasa l'cha, you have to have an asiyah. And asiyah is on the schach, not so much on the tfanas. So what's an example of tasa v'lamanasa? So to give an example, I have a haystack, and someone climbs in the bottom of the haystack, and he picks out a cavity inside the hay. So you have hay on top and hay on all four sides. So you have four tfanas of hay, and you have schach of hay, so it's a kosher sukkah. But the sukkah was made, tasva lemonasa. You didn't put the schach on top to make shade. There was a haystack, and then you picked out the cavity, so the schach that you didn't take away, was on top. So you never did an asiyah on the schach. That's considered tasva
lemonasa.
That's tasva lemonasa. Yeah, so we gave the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk chag al sukkas tasacha, but we left out the word chag. So how do you deal with that? But it says chag. Chag means a holiday. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, the word chag really means a korban chagiga. On Shalosh Hagalim, there is an obligation that it's a set from the first parak in chagiga, and it's quoted in the Gemara chagiga in the first parak. Gimel mitzvahs and the tava yisrael baliyosam the regal. When the Jewish people come to be early regal to Yerushalayim on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they're obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs and karbonis. One is Oilas Riyah. The men have to be Yeroh Kol Zchurcha. The women don't have to. The men who come to be early regal have to bring an Oilas Riyah. Then they have to bring a Shami Chagika. That's Chag. Chag HaSukkot Tazalucha. It's called a Chag. A Yontem on which you bring a Korban Chagika is called a Chag. Shemini Atzeres, there's no Serpachiyah to bring a Korban Chagika. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, the assumption is that the davening should be in biblical Hebrew, and Shemini Atzeres is never called a chag. It's Atzeres HaChagazeh. It's Atzeres of Sukkot. Sukkot is a chag, but Shemini Atzeres, strictly speaking, is not a chag. In modern Hebrew, you call Chag Purim. Or you call Chanukah, Chag Ha'orim, the holiday of the lights. But in biblical Hebrew, it's only called a chag if it's a holiday when you're obligated to bring Shalmi Chagiga. So Shemini Atzeres is not Shalmi Chagiga. Chanukah and Purim is not Shalmi Chagiga either. So the Gemara says on the Pasuk, the additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, Sukkah Stavzuch Lacha goes on constructing the Sukkah, and why is it called a Chag? The Sukkah is Sukkah Shalikor B'Chagiga. Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, Kachal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah. Just like a Korban Chagiga has a din me'ila, it's kachim kalim. You're not allowed to be moil. There's no me'ila in kachim kalim. But the yevet, if you were nenem in a hekdash by kachim kalim, there's no penalty that you have to pay karmel chaimish. You have to bring asham me'ilos. There's no me'ila by kachim kalim. But lachatchila, there certainly is an isa. You're not allowed to get an off from it. So that's what the word chag means in that pasuk. That keshem shalchal shem shemaim ala chagiga, kachal shem shemaim ala sukkah. That's the mocker for hooked in the mitzvosai by Sukkah. Some Rishonim holds only hooked in the mitzvosai by the schach, and the Rambam says not so. Hooked in the mitzvosai even on the tfanis also. All the dinim of the psulim that has to be gidul karka has to be told the davar sheni mekaputume, that only applies to the schach. That doesn't apply to the tfanis. So that's why the Rosh is surprised with the Rambam. Why the Rambam says that the chal shem shemayim even goes on the tfanis. The tfanis are not called the Sukkah. The only part that's called the sukkah is the schach, which is mesach, and it makes shade. Tfanis, we don't care about the shade from the tfanis. The only thing that counts is the shade from the schach. So that's a din of Tasav Lamanos. I remember I have nine children, so one of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. She went to Eretz Yisrael in between high school and college. She never came back. She just stayed there. She married off one of her children. She lives in Eretz Yisrael. So remember, that Sukkot, she got married in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. That Sukkot was pouring. It was windy. So a lot of people had a Sukkot on the Merpeset on the fifth floor, and they didn't tie down the Schach. It's never windy. It's never summertime. Sukkot is summertime. So the wind caused it. The schach fell off from the sukkahs that were on the ground level, and the schach from the fifth floor fell exactly on top of the sukkah that was on the ground. So that's literally tasav lemanasa. I put the schach on that sukkah, and now the wind blew it on this sukkah. So we are makel in Shulchan Aruch, this machlokes. If you have a roof, let's say in the conservative temple, if they built a sukkah in the building, which is no good, and then they removed the roof, so that doesn't help. You have to put the schach on when it's good, when it's clear above, when there's no roof on top. But what's a din? I put the schach on top of the sukkah when there's no roof over there, and then it starts to rain, so I put the roof down. Then I take the roof up again. When it stops raining, I open up the roof again. So is that now tasu lemon? Also, so that's a machlekes in the Mordechai, and the common psak and Shulchan Aruch is that we're makel on that. There are some rishonim who are machmer that's tasu lemon. Also, the other rishonim say no. Since tchilas hanochas haschach was behechsher, when I first put the schach, the roof was not on. It was the schach was under the sky. So even I put a roof on and I removed it later on. That's not tasu lemon. Also. Yeah, so some rabbanim thought that this is the same. Since tchilas hanochas haschach on the fifth floor on that sukkah, tchilas hanochas haschach was good, even though later on the wind blew it on top of a different sukkah, that's good because tchilas hanochas haschach was behech. I thought that was absolutely a joke. There's mamash apsul deraisa. What does this sukkah got to do with that sukkah? This sukkah was kosher, and that sukkah was posel. The wind blows it on. That's literally. So that's what the post can point out. You should be careful when you put the schach on initially that the schlach should be up, the roof should be up, and that even if later on you close the roof when it's raining and then you open it up again, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch l'hakim. If a person wants to be machmir, there is such an opinion in the Mordechai, there was such an opinion. We don't pass like that. One wants to be machmir. All you have to do is, it's a tircha, you have to pick up each piece of schach at tefach and put it down again. So that's a new hanocha on all the schach. One tefach. Three tefachim is lovet if you have something here and here within three tefachim. Here it's lovet to where it was before. That's not called lovet. If I'm going to pick it up, one tefach, it used to be here. I pick it up. What do you say? It's lovet to where it used to be. There is no such thing. Lovet where it used to be. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah talks about the din. Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch that you really shouldn't have made a gzera. The Rishonim made their own gzera. It doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere. Made a gzera. You shouldn't use canvas walls. You shouldn't use cloth for the walls because you're going to have to tie it down in such a way that the wind shouldn't blow it. And it may get untied. It may not tie it down well. So it may turn out that that the wind will be blowing the tfanis, and that's called dreifen is only good. But if the wind is going to blow it, then it's no good. Yeah, but even if you have wooden boards, the wind can blow the tfanis a little bit. So a little bit, buildings that are brick buildings don't shake. Sometimes if you have an earthquake, it will shake. But normally, that's a real shame to you. But normally they don't shake. But if you have wooden boards, it will shake a little bit. So the poskim assume a little bit shaking doesn't matter. Only if it's serious. So they quote the Chazon Ish was very makel on this. The Chazon Ish has his own style of writing. Whenever something is against all the classical poskim, so he'll write, "Mistim is divah poskim mashma," and he says what he wants. Against everybody. Because the others don't have any raya. So he says, if you have a doifen, let's say you have a canvas wall, you have a canvas wall, the tefanis don't have to be gidule karka. You can use bricks also for tefanis. So if you have a canvas wall, and it's tied down in such a way that even if it blows, the wind is going to blow it, going to blow out like this, or it's going to blow in like this, whatever, but it's always going to be within three tefachim to the ground, as much as the blow is going to be. So he says, even though the wind is blowing the walls back and forth, but it's 10 tefachim tall, and it's directly below the schach. So you say gudasik mechitza, the mechitza goes up, it bumps into the schach, and it's within three tochim to the ground, so it's good. That's what an Israeli army, they rely on that chazanish. Sometimes they come to a location late, Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, have to make an Erev because they're going to have to carry. So they have no time to make an Erev. So they have gigantic nets that unfortunately they need to trap terrorists. Sometimes they trap them with nets. So someone runs around the trees and the outskirts of the holy area they want to carry. And they put these gigantic nets on the side of the trees and the wind will blow on Shabbos, blow this way, blow that way. The net is lovud, everything is lovud, and even if the wind is going to blow it like this, it's still going to be touching the ground. It's still going to be touching. It's a very big net, so still it's going to be 10 tefachim, it's going to be touching the ground. So the Chazon Ish holds that that's good. All the classical poskim assume that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes classical poskim assume that it's not acceptable. The Mishnah says Achilas Haray Chutz Nesukah is Mutter, only Achilas Keva. But the Mishnah Berurah has a Chumrah. He thinks that this is Pasha Pshat in Gemara. Years ago, many people didn't make their own Sukkah, so the Shul used to have a Sukkah. They used to make Kiddush in the Shul, they used to say Hamaitzi in the Shul, and then they would have in mind that they're going to continue eating at home the rest of the meal. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's not permissible. If you didn't bench yet, let's say you have a sukkah in your backyard. So you're gonna walk in sometimes into the kitchen to bring some food out into your sukkah. So if you walk into the kitchen, you want to have a drink of water, want to have a drink of soda or something. He says you can't drink soda or water in the house if it's in the middle of a meal. You're in the middle of a meal. Even the water alone is achilas aro, it's not achilas keva, but water in the middle of a sudas keva is called part of Achilas Keva. So he thinks that that's a problem. So that was a common practice years ago. The people wouldn't make their own sukkah. Now the people are much more learned than they used to be. I remember that time that I stayed by my parents in Borough Park, we saw a lot of people had an Erev to permit them to carry in their backyard from their apartment into the sukkah. 95% of their roof were not made properly. They didn't know how to make a Tzuras HaPesach. Now, it's Achshadora. Now they have different organizations, different committees. They just call someone up and they'll come and check it free of charge and they'll tell you whether the area is good or not good. Years ago, the camps and all the hotels, they had a roof and they were not really valid. They didn't know the first thing about how to make an Erev. They remembered something vaguely from Europe. They weren't really kosher a roof. Now it's much better than it used to be. It's a chiddush. From the Rambam would appear that you always recite Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov in a sitting position. Kiddush Mamakam Suda, and the purpose of the Kiddush is to be kaveh the Suda, as Suda Shabbos, as Suda Yom Tov. That's why Ein Kiddush Alo Mamakam Suda. So the Rambam says the exception to the rule, the one exception to the rule is Sukkahs, because you're going to say a brocha Leshe Basukkah, and the Rambam understands Leshe. Sounds like he translates the word Leshe means to sit in the Sukkah. So you want to say the bracha evel asiyasam, and leisha basukah comes at the end of the kiddush, not in the beginning. So so you have to stand the whole time when you say the kiddush, so that you'll be able to sit down after you say the bracha leisha basukah. So the Rosh quotes this Rambam, and he sort of makes fun. It says vateish v'bikodesh yomim rabim. They sat in kodesh. They didn't sit. They stayed in the city kodesh. Vateish means the hisakev. Leisha basuka, it means lehisakei basuka. If you're standing on the suka, you're also yotze the mitzvah. You should. But anybody, the Rama never insists you have to say the bracha leisha basuka if you walk in, before you walk into the suka. When you walk in, you're going to say the bracha. It's not called lechem asiyosam. So you can sit down also. You can sit down and say the kiddush also. So that's, many people have the practice. They sit for kiddush all year long. And they sit for kiddush and sukkahs as well. They don't follow this Rama. But for the Rambam is mashma that every Shabbos and Yom Tov he says kiddush in the sitting position, except for little sukkahs because of the leishet. And we don't hold from that. The Rosh said we don't hold from that leishet basukah. The Mishnah tells machlekes hatanoim between the Sham and Mesil in a few different places. What is the age of a cotton shehigia lechinuch? There is no specific. There's no fixed age for all mitzvahs. every mitzvah there's a different zman for chinuch. So when the according to Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel's opinion is when the chakotna hadel his atif, when the child is old enough to know how to do atifa properly, so then that's the age of chinuch. That's a kota hadel in aneya. Even though ninua halulav is not miakev, but the chi of chinuch for the children only begins when the child knows how to do the mitzvah bishlemusa, knows how to, and he's able to do it. A lot of times when we have little children, they wanted to shake a little. The hasrig was so heavy, they couldn't even pick it up. So am I mechuyev to help him pick up the hasrig? He can't pick up the hasrig on his own. There's no chi of chinuch. He has to be old enough to be able to do the mitzvah bishlemusa. That's how we pass on like Beis Hillel. Bishama is saying no, even before that age. So there's a Mishnah in Sukkah that records this machlek as Bisham and Beis Hillel. So Shammai HaZaken had a daughter-in-law who had a baby. And the simple reading in the Mishnah, she just had a baby a week before Sukkot. So she was going to sleep in the house. The houses weren't so, not like our houses. So they took off the roof from the house in South Africa. The natives live in huts all year long. So it looks like Beis Shammai's daughter-in-law lived in such a little hut. So he took off the roof. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. So the Mefarshim say that's ridiculous. The baby is a mesasig. The baby is an infant. He's less than a month old. He won't even be able to tell his brothers or his sisters the experience that he had. He doesn't see anything. Doesn't understand anything. How can Shammai's opinion be that that's a chiyuv chinuch? So on that, if you look in the big Mishnayah, so they tell you on the side of the page, look in the Maharshal. But the Maharshal is not on Sukkah. The Maharshal is in the first parak in Yevamos. The end of the first parak in Yevamos, the Gemara has a machlokes, whether Osa B'Shamah Kedivim, B'Shamah V'Rad voted. So that means, Yochid V'Rab Malachi K'Rabim, so the rest of the Kehillahs, everybody should follow Beis Hillel. What about Beis Shammai? They themselves had to follow Beis Hillel's opinion? Because they were outvoted, or they say no, they follow the Rebbe's opinion. They follow everything. So the Gemara comes to the Maskana, also B'Shammai Kedivim. B'Shammai followed their opinion. But the rest of the world, who need the Talmidim B'Shammai, no Talmidim Beis Hillel, so then you say Acharam Lahantas. So in that Sugya, the Gemara quotes that Mishnah, what Shammai HaZaken did. So in that Gemara in Yevamos, is the end of the first parak, there's a Marshal on the bottom of the Marshal, where he's Medayik. That the Mishnah Sukkah says that Shammai HaZaken's daughter-in-law had a baby. Piches says a maziv on mipnei koton. Doesn't say mipnei hakoton, mipnei hatinak. It doesn't say because of the baby. No, she had a six-year-old baby. She had a baby who was only a month old, and the baby was going to sleep in the house. And there's no Shammai not going to say there's chinuch on a month-old baby, but there was an older child who, according to Beis Hillel, was patur on Sukkah because he was mitztayer. Because if he would wake up in the middle of the night, he's not going to go back to sleep. He's going to scream, mommy, mommy. And he's going to wake up the mother. So that's been star potam and asuka. So pichas as amaziva, Shammai HaZaken was machma, more than Beis Hillel, when the din of chinuch begins. But not for the infant, not for the baby. He doesn't know what's going on. That's the Maharshal. So those who learn Mishnayos, now on the side of the page in the big Mishnayos, it's dumb good to know. You have things in the Mishnayos that you don't have the Gemara. You have Tosfos Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega has comments on the Mishnayos that he doesn't have on the Gemara. So a lot of them are very valuable. Then you have on the side of the page, you have other Mefarshim there. There are a lot of fascinating things that they have on the side of the page in the Mishnayos that it's kedai to look at. Just a few words about Dalet Minim. The Pasuk says, Alakach Melchem Bayam Arishon, and it only applies the first day. We live in Chutzlot, so we have a Sveka Diyama, so we have the second day is Sveka Diyama of the first day. Then it says, Smachtam Alfnei Hashem Alkech Meshiv As Yamim. So the Torah Shabbal Peh understands, Smachtam Alfnei Hashem Alkech means Bamigdosh. Lulav Nito Bamigdosh Kol Shiva. In the base of Amigdosh, there's a mitzvah to Sheikh Alulav Menatoro. All 7 days. That's a smachtam lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. Tosfos' opinion is, and then the Mishnah says that after the churban habayis, it is no longer this mitzvah is no longer applicable. Lulav nito ba migdash kol shivas only in a migdash. We don't have a migdash anymore. So Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai was a head of the Sanhedrin for 40 years. Gemara says he lived to the age of 120. The first 40 years he worked for a living, and he retired at the age of 40. You hear? Retired at the age of 40. I couldn't retire. It must have been a multimillionaire. How could he retire at 40? He lived to 120. So he had so much pension, so much money saved up. I don't know. And then the next 40 years he learned till the age of 80. And then at the age of 80, he was the biggest Talmud Chacham. So they made him the chief rabbi till the age of 120. So during his presidency, when he was the chief rabbi for 40 years, he and his bezin made 9 takanas. Several of them had to do with the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Part of his 40 years was before the Churban Abayis, part was after the Churban Abayis. I was not sure how much of the last 40 years was during the Abayis and after the Abayis. So he made a takana that the mitzvah of lulav kol shiva shouldn't be forgotten, that we should shake a lulav kol shiva. But that's only mid the Rabbanan. And I tell it's only lulav mitzvah ba mikdash kol shiva. Ba medina is only yom echad. So we usually have a sveka de yom. Yeah, so we... Tosis points out, Tosis' opinion is that whenever lulav is that, whenever dalad minim is daraisa, then you need shalachem, and you need that it should be lekicha tama. Let's say if somebody cut out, you took a knife and you cut out part of the esrig, so it's chaser, so that's a violation, ulekachtem. Ulakachtoch, lekicha tama, tof mem at the end, ulakachtem, means lekicha tama shouldn't be chosen. So Tosis says that whenever the mitzvah of lulav is deraisa, then you need shalachem, and then you need, it should be lekicha tama, shouldn't be chosen. Whenever it's only the rabbanon, so then you're not worried about the shalachem, you're not worried about the lekicha tama. The Ramban and the Melchamas disagrees with Tosis. He says that lulav kol shiva ba migdash is a mitzvah of esmachtem. That's not the mitzvah ulakachtem. So he thinks that you don't need shalachem. You don't need shalachem all 7 days of Sukkot and the Mikdash, even though it's their isa. But according to Tosfos, you do. So now it's a common practice when you go to the, if you go visit the Kosel, you already daven in the morning and buy Tagam in Tel Aviv. And then you drive to visit the Kosel Maravi. So there'll be a good Samaritan there who will ask you, do you want to have a chalamayit? They'll ask you, do you want a matanam and a slachzer to shake a lulav? What do you need? A matanam and a slachzer. You don't need shalachem and chalamayit. The answer is, according to Tosfos, in each shalachem, whenever the mitzvah is deraisa, and the author of the Orach Laner, Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger, he was a rabbi in Germany. He's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Maple Hirsch. He gave smicha to Rabbi Ramnosen Adler, who was not Ramnosen Adler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. He was earlier. He gave smich to Rabbi Nathan Adler, who was same as Rabbi Hirsch around the same time. He was the chief rabbi of England. He lived in London. So the first Sefer that he wrote, it's called Bikur Yaakov. It's on Hilchas Sukkah and Alaminim. Mishnah quotes it every page from the Bikur Yaakov. He quotes Sod Achron, he has a lot. So he has this, imagine, They weren't even dreaming of Hakamas al Medina, of the Jews coming back to Kosel Maravi. So he has this Chiddush. He puts together two Ramams and he comes up with a Chiddush. The Ramam and the Pirush HaMishnayis quotes a Yerushalmi. Like when it says Lulav Nitol Bamigdosh Kol Shiva, it refers to the Holy Eratika. It doesn't only refer to the Makam HaMigdosh, the Holy Eratika. And the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't write that. In the Pirush HaMishnayis, he quotes that and it's based on a Yerushalmi. Then the Rama Mishnah Torah paskins. She was kitchalosi lovan. So if you put together two and two, it comes out that if you're in the Ir Atika, you're not in the Makom HaMikdash. Ir Atika, the whole in front of the Kosel HaMaravi. Because Maravi is the Kosel of the Harabais. So if in the Ir Atika, there's a Chiyav Men HaTorah to shake a lulav. Well, it's a big Chiddush. But because not everybody agrees with either Rambam, the Rambam himself doesn't agree with what he wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayis. In the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't quote that Yerushalmi, that Lulav Nitol Bamigdosh Kol Shiva refers to the Holy Eratika. And the other Rambam that he say, Kid Shalosi Lulav on Yerushalayim, the Rabbi disagrees with that. So they're both Rambams are questionable, but that's what the Bikur Yaakov came up with that Chiddush. So that's why someone will offer you, do you want to have a lulav matan laslach and chalamay? Because according to Tosfos, whenever lulav is deraisa, whenever dalaminim is deraisa, in each alachem, and chaser is not acceptable. That's why the law for Yehudi, one amatan amnas lachzer, they satisfy the shita satayse. But the Ramban holds that there are two different mitzvahs. In migdush kol shiva, it's a mitzvah of ismachtem. It's not a mitzvah of ulakachtem. Ulakachtem lachem in each alachem on the first day of Sukkot. The rest of Sukkot, even if it's the rice and migdush, you don't need shalachem. It's a different mitzvah ismachtem. That's the Ramban, and the Melcham is disagreeing with the Bali Atosis. So remember, when I was a student in high school, Rabbi Gerelich was telling us that when the Rabbi Velvela Soloveitchik was talking about this in Europe, no one was dreaming of ever seeing the Kosel HaMaravi. And afterwards, that HaKamas HaMedina and the Mohammed Sheish HaTaymim, and everybody goes to visit the Kosel HaMaravi. So he said, yes, Rabbi Velvela, what about the first day? The first day Sukkot is the mitzvah to shake a lulav all over the world. Means the mitzvah of the smachtem is the remaining 6 days, or is the mitzvah on the first day also? Even though I already was yotze, I already daven shachris and bayit v'gam, not in the Ir Atika. I already daven shachris and bayit v'gam. Then I go to visit the Kosel HaMaravi. Is there a mitzvah on the first day also? The shake lulav again a second time. What do you say? No. The remaining days you need. So he says, Rav Avila was thinking. He said, it's a good teshiva, he doesn't know the answer. It's a good teshiva. That's what he always used to say. He never would pass on anything. Never would take a stand on anything that's halacha ma'aseh. But he says, Rav Gerelich pointed out, it was the furthest thing from their minds that they'll ever see during their lifetime. The Kosel HaMaravi, and they're sitting in Europe and thinking, what's the din? If you're ready to daven in a different place, whether the first day. Interesting. So we have Dalad Minim, many Hasidim are makbid based on the Zohar that they have to have Dafka, a green esrog, because the Zohar talks about an esrog hayorek. The Mishkan is Yankee was one of the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin of Volozhin Yeshiva, and he was the Rav Yankel Karlin, he was the Rav Yankel Karlin, where they had Stolen Hasidim, Karlin. Karlin and Stolen, I think, are twin cities. If you walk 5 minutes, like Bergenfield and Teaneck, walk 5 minutes, you walk to the other side of the street, it's going to be Teaneck. This side of the street is Bergenfield. So he dealt a lot, Rabbi Yankel Karlin and Mishkan, he dealt a lot with Hasidim. So he has quite a few tshuvas where he explains that he doesn't say explicitly why he's writing the tshuva, but that's what he's writing about, why the Hasidim are doing everything wrong. So he said, this is a mistake. The word yorok in Hebrew means yellow or brown. It doesn't mean green. Yorek kikarsi means green. And an esrog that's yorek, that's green, is puzzle. And he thinks that even if it's beginning to turn yellow, and maybe by the end of Sukkot it'll be yellow, but right now it's green, dark green. He said, that's absolutely puzzle. It's based on the Gemara. There's a lot of tshuvas where he wrote disagreeing with the Hasidic practices. The Gemara says that the Hadassim and Aravos have to be 3 tefachim tall, and the lulav has to be an extra tefach kadei l'naneya. The Rishonim say ninua mida agbe nafek be. The Gemara says pick up the lulav yitz even if you didn't do nanuim, but l'chatchila we consider only a mitzvah b'shalim lus if you do ninuim. So you see that from this Gemara also, since you need an extra tefach kadeila nanaya, you see that the mitzvah of shlemusa is with nanuim. If you didn't do the nanuim, so you're only out to b'dieved. This extra tefach has to be the shedra of the lulav. On the bottom, all the leaves are stuck together, like glued together. Then when you get to the top, they're all separate. So there's a point a few inches down from the top when it's 4 or 5 inches down, you have to take a look at the lulav, where everything is still together, and then everything separates. So you have to have, the hadassim and arabah should be a minimum of 3 tefachim tall, but if it's 6 tefachim tall, so then the lulav, the shedra of the lulav has to be bole, a tefach above the hadassim and arabah. So if you have very tall hadassim, you better cut off the bottom. So it's going to be six tefachim tall, you're not going to have a lulav that's tall enough. Well, the lulav is going to be very heavy. The taller the lulav is, it's going to be heavier. It's going to be harder to carry. You have to have the shedra of the lulav should be boiled a tefach of the shedra before it separates to become a separate alim, a tefach of the shedra has to be above the hadasa menorahs. Then they quote from Rashi, Sefer Pardes, that the hadasim should be slightly higher than the arabas. Usually the arabas are taller. And Rashi says, if you have them together and the arabas are higher than the hadasim, you're not yet in the mitzvah. So that nobody understands. How can you say you're not yet in the mitzvah? For what good reason are you not yet? So they guess, they give reasons. They're not sure. But Rashi says, you're not yet. So at least l'chatchila, you should be careful. So usually the arabas are much taller than the hadasim. So you should cut the bottom of the arabas off. So the hadasim should be slightly higher than the arabas. The way to remember which one should be higher, so they give you in Shulchan Aruch, hadasim look like eyes and arabas look like lips. So the eyes are above the lips. So the hadasim should be higher up. The top of the hadasim should be higher up. That's been said in Shulchan Aruch. Should be higher up than arabas. And the shedra of the lula should be boiled a tefach above the hadasim. On top. The hadasim have to be mishuloshim. That's always a big problem. So the din is that for a ruba kakula, if a raiv of the hadas is mishulosh, even though the miyot is not mishulosh, it's still good. Then they quote from the Bahag that the hadasim shouldn't be too gigantic. Sometimes hadasim are very big, so they say if it's bigger than a thumbnail, according to the Bahag, that's possible. So you got to make sure it's not too big. The Mishnah has a din if you have hadash, anova merube me'alo. You have berries growing out of hadash. You have more berries than you have leaves. So that's possible. So usually by the time they sell you the hadasim, they already pulled off the berries. It's kosher. If they pulled it off, it's kosher. The Mishnah says so. But if you're interested in knowing what it looks like, so they have to go to the people that sell the dalaminim. Ask them to save one of the hadasim that has berries on. Nice to know what it looks like, because the Mishnah talks about the din. The minig is, it's not me'akev, that when you hold the lulav, so you have the shedra facing you, because we treat the lulav as if it represents the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Marisa's Acharei, Ufanei Lo Yirom. So we should look at the shedra, that's Acharei. You don't have it the other way. But yeah, but if you hold it the other way, you will see it. The classic called Poskim, the Magen Avraham quotes, and all the Poskim Eftim, they say that in Esrog Hamurkov, a lot of times the Esrog trees are not so strong. So in order to make it grow better, so they'll be Markev, the Esrog, they'll breed it together with a tree that doesn't have any fruit. A tree that doesn't have any fruit. Because it'll make the Esrog grow stronger. So the Poskim say that that's not acceptable for two reasons. So some say because it's the wrong min. So if it's only the wrong min, so if you're grafting it to a tree that doesn't have any fruits at all, then it's not going to be the wrong min. But other Poskim say it's no good because mitzvah bo ba'avera, because harkavas ilanis is prohibited even for the nachrim. The nachrim used to do the harkavas. That's the original psul, the original achrayim, who said that esra gamurkim is no good. They said because it's mitzvah bo ba'avera, and even though the goyim only have sheven mitzvahs b'nei noach, so they say, but this is a din. It's not from the sheven mitzvahs, but this the Rambam and the Shach and the Yeridei quotes that b'nei noach amuzim not to do harkavas ilonis. And the Beis Ephraim is a whole tshuva. He thinks that that's a joke. It's not mitzvah bo ba'avera. If you know the sugya mitzvah bo ba'avera, shouldn't be an example at all. The Israeli government said many years ago that they know how many esrogim and Eretz Yisrael are built in Murkovim, and the number of esrogim that they sell in Chutzlor is that they say, they built in Murkovim is way off. They're selling five times as many esrogim they built in Murkovim than it exists. There aren't so many they built in esrogim, built in Murkovim and Eretz Yisrael. That's not right. There is a machlokes hatanan whether the lulav tzorech eged or not. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if you didn't do the eged to tie together the hadasim and the arabas and the lulav, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. We don't accept that sheet that we pass in lulav and tzorech eged. But l'chatchila, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah זה כלב מהדי, וסנוע לפעול במצווה, זה לא יהיה מצווה, to have lulu tzarcheg. So there's a Rashi in towards the second half of Sukkah, where Rashi says, just like according to the Chachon, lulu tzarcheg means you need a kesher agabi kesher, not just to wrap it around and to tuck it in. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even according to the Chachamim, that lulu v'enet tzarcheg, but l'chatchili needed eged, it's not enough just to wrap it around and tuck it in. You have to have a real kesher agabi kesher. So who makes a kesher agabi kesher? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes some obscure achran that we never heard of. Agur ba'alecha. I think he only quotes him here. Because the Mishnah Berurah says in the Hagdamah to his Sefer that he's only worked with the Svarim that are written on the page. Mogan Avram and the Taz and the Machzan Shekhan and the Prima Godim and the Chemed Moshe and the Svarim on the page. Or whatever achranim I quoted, there's a little Sefer called Pischei Tshuva. Whatever achran quoted Pischei Tshuva. So whatever the Pischei Tshuva quoted, that's what he'll quote. They quote this Agur Bahalech. He didn't sit and read. They didn't sit and read all of these Svarim. They used whatever Marmukam is out there in the little Sefer, the Pischei Tshuva. So he quotes the Sefer Agur Bahalech, I think, that if you have this woven keshiko, the little container that you stick in the Adasim and the Rabbis and the Lul in the middle, that's considered a Keshal Gabi Keshe, because it's full of knots. The whole thing is all full of knots. So that's what we rely on. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't use that because the Gemara has a din. If the din would be like Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav tzarche eged, so then the Gemara says you wouldn't be able to use a keshikol because it's tasav lamen osse, because it's full of knots before you put in the lulav hadasim and aravis. You have to hold the lulav hadasim and aravis and then make a knot around it. So even if you did that, let's say, then you want to keep the lulav fresh. So you take the lulav out, you put it in a pot of water, and then you put it back in tomorrow morning. So that's Tasav Lamen Asa. The Gemara says Tasav Lamen Asa applies to the Eged according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Soloveitchik got a Chumra. In the Svarim, nobody has this. There's a fantastic Sefer called Chaim Avraham the Mishmer Rishalom. The author wrote a Sefer Mishmer Rishalom, which is a commentary on the Prima Godam on Yeridaya. Today, people don't even read the Prima Godam, so you don't need the commentary on the Prima Godam. Prima Godam is fantastic, though. So the same author who wrote the Mishmer Shalom, which is the Chibur on the Prima Godam on Yeridaya, wrote two Svarim, both called Chaim Avroch and Mishmer Shalom. One of them has all of Hilchas Adelus alphabetically arranged. It has every Rish and every Achman that was known of 100 years ago. Now they have more Rishonim on Sukkot that they never had. It was only a manuscript then. He has every Rishon that was available then. And then he has the Chaim Avroch and Mishmer Shalom on Hilchas Adelus. Everything arranged alphabetically. When you get in Hilchas Dalad Min, you get to the last page, Tasav Lamen Asi starts with a Tav. So Tasav Lamen Asi, nobody holds like Rav Soloveitchik. Nobody holds. Rashi says, even though we pass Lulav and Zorch Ege, but L'chatchilin Yered Ege, so L'chatchil should be a Kesha Rabbi Kesha, should be a Kesha Gama. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, whatever is Ma'akev, according to Rabbi Yehuda, by Yosef is L'chatchil. So he thought that Tasav Lamen Asi is also L'chatchil, he shouldn't do Tasav Lamen Asi. So he wouldn't use a keshikol, because if you use a keshikol, the keshikol is already there. So he would just take the lulav hadasim aravis tied around, and then he wouldn't take out the lulav. We always put the hadasim aravis, wrap it up, put it in the refrigerator to preserve it. He put the lulav in a pot of water. So whenever he would take it out, he would have to tie the keshikol all over again. So he wouldn't do that. It's a big chumrah that the din of tasav lamen asi applies on the lachatchila, on the keshikol. None of the achranim hold like that. The Rishonim on Sukkah have a machlokes, an interesting machlokes, where they need shalachem on the second day of Sukkos. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Why not? A Sveka Diyama of the first day. Whatever's on the first day, you have an Issa Malacha. Why shouldn't you say that you need shalachem? The rest of the days of Sukkah is only with the Rabbanus, so you don't need shalachem. But the second day is a Sveka Diyama for the first day. So the Rishonim don't explain what this Svara is. Why shouldn't it apply? So Rav Soloveitchik had a very snazzy pshat. I think it's a very cute pshat. It's probably the truth. He said, "Bishachar beis hamikdash hiskar Avichai Menzaka." Avichai Menzaka was the chief rabbi for 40 years. After the destruction of the second beis hamikdash, they made a takana that they should shake a lulav kol shiva. When was the fixed calendar established? During the lifetime of Abaye Verovit. That was way later, centuries later. So there was no need to make a takana of Yom Tov Sheni. Then when they fixed the calendar, so the Adar Shaila should be still, all the Jews in Chutzlot should be still observed Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golus, because there's no longer any Sveik of the Yom. The Gemara says in the beginning of Beitz, and Shalch Meitam sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, yes, Yisrael the meaning of Sech Meitam, they should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni. But there was no need for Takonis Yom Tov Sheni for the purpose of shaking the lulav on the second day, because you shake the lulav anyway the second day, shaking the lulav Kol Shiva. So they should make a takoni, you should shake the lulav as a sfek of the ayma of the first day, that you should need shalachem. You're shaking the lulav anyway, so it won't be shalachem. So he thought that was perhaps the reason why those rishonim, half of the rishonim held, that you don't need shalachem on the second day, this sfek of the ayma on the second day, sukkas, v'isa malacha, what you daven and musaf, other things. But not for the purpose of lulav, because lulav anyway you shake, so there was no need to make a takana to be mechayev and lulav on the second day. Whatever it is, we don't paskel like that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yankov, who points out that even though in the Rishonim it's a machlekes, but in the Shulchan Aruch it says b'feirish that you need shalachem and chaser pasels on the second day. In other words, that we paskel that you do need, that you do have sveik adiyem. All the psulim on the first day apply on the second day. Like this year, first day Sukkot and Shabbos. So all you have is the second day. So some people say, so you can get an esrog achaser, chaser is kosher kol shiva, and then thus fake the yema on lulav. So that's not the accepted, there is such an opinion. That's not the accepted opinion. Mishnah Berurah points out from the Bikur Yangam, and Shulchan Aruch says the Befeirish and the Mechaber, that there is a din of sveka di yema, that the second day you need shalachem, and in the second day chaser would be possible. There is a famous discussion if shalachem derabanan is acceptable when you need shalachem on the level of the rice. Let's say yeshiva learned gittin last year, and after you gimel and gittin is a takana is a kinyan derabanan and maimon shloshtim. So let's say the chassan was nervous and he's afraid he's going to forget to bring the wedding ring. So he asked his best friend, he trusted him, he's not nervous. He said, you bring the ring to the wedding. Comes to the wedding, the best friend came in from out of town, he forgot to bring the ring. So what do you do? So he can stand under the chuppah, and the chassan can say, I am a kodesh asleep at Tabas, that my best friend left at home. He can't put it on our finger. He left it at home or somewhere else. And the galus kind of the ring with my mishloshna, because he's the shimer of the pikot and the best friend. And they're all three standing together. So that's a takana d'rabban and ma'im shlosh. So that's a famous machlekes. Is she kind of the ring men on Torah? Because hefker bez nehefker. Or maybe hefker bez nehefker is only good lahafker, to declare something hefker. Maybe to declare that it's a bailus, maybe that's only hefker bez nehefker mid the rabban. Maybe it's not men on Torah. So the Beis Yosef quotes one of the Rishonim. I think the Rabbi Yerucham, I forgot already, quotes one of the Rishonim has that she's only an eshes ish mid the rabbanon. If the chassan was makna the ring to the kala with the kinya the rabbanon, and the Beis Yosef thinks that it works menatur, and the Ksois thinks that the Beis Yosef is right, and the Nesivis thinks that the Rabbeinu Yerucham is right. Every Rishon is involved in it. So you look in Divrei Yecheskel. Divrei Yecheskel was Magid Shir and Slabotke. He has a whole essay. He shows that every single Rishon is involved in this. So that's the shaila on the first day Sukkot. If you only kind of with Hagbor, I never made a kinyan and before Sukkot. They give me hadassim and I'm kind of Agbor. So Agbor is only a kinyan made a rabbanon. Minatur, Dvar Torah, most kind of. So when you pay for it, you kind of minatur. So that's a discussion on the first. On the second day this year, there is no first day. First day is Shabbos. So the second day is only with the rabbanon. So kinyan with the rabbanon is good for the rabbanon, that's for sure. But on the first day, if the first day wouldn't be Shabbos, that would be a shaila whether it's good. If you let's say I didn't pay for the esrog yet, but I took it home in my automobile. So my automobile is a kinyan chotzer. Or if I take it to my house, I'm kind of with a kinyan chotzer. Kinyan chotzer is a kinyan menat Torah. But if you just make a hagbor or meshicha, so hagbor meshicha is only made the rabban. So that's a famous machlokes. But yanan chotzer, that's good menat Torah. These are some of the more obvious dinim. There are a lot of detailed dinim that. We'll do some other time.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.